Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about someone waking up from a coma? Would you like to know what happens when you wake up from a coma and you realize that you are paralyzed? Have you ever wondered how it feels to know that you have made a mistake that can't be changed? Can you imagine learning from your mistakes? Tell me, do you know how hard it is to write a 553-page novel? I don't know personally, but I can only imagine how difficult that is. When was the last time you heard about a book called Sybil Reborn? Tell me, do you know what the word Sybil even means? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I will be welcoming back a guest who has been on the show before, and I'm so looking forward to interviewing him again. He will provide us with informative and inspirational lessons and some really great, great advice about living, thriving, and surviving. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured as a staff pick on the front page at blogtalkradio.com. I am honored to be a featured host, and we now have over 1.2 million listeners. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012, which is lovely news to me. Now, let me tell you about my guest today. In 1997, he squashed a life he loved by ignoring his common sense. Growing drowsy one afternoon as he drove across Montana, he stopped for coffee but changed his mind. After all, he wasn't that sleepy. He had never dozed off while behind the wheel, and he deserved something cold after driving all day. 10 minutes later, he fell asleep and rolled his pickup into a gulch. When he awoke from a coma several days later, his body from the chest down lay unfeeling and inert. He was paralyzed for life. By deluding himself to do what he wanted to do, he destroyed a 20-year railroad career that grew from digging trenches beneath the sun to serving as acting assistant transportation manager. No more would he hike Pike's Peak with his athletic wife. Instead, two terrified people found themselves alone in a strange state with no belongings, no family, no future, only each other in an empty apartment and no turning back. In addition to his spinal cord injury, he suffered brain damage and a crushed facial nerve that resulted in short-term memory loss, a tendency to lose mental focus and the rotation of his right eye. His wife pulled him through, side by side, on their only furniture, a twin bed given to them by a stranger. She prodded him to read aloud daily for hours at a time. Slowly, over months, his eyes once again tracked in unison, and his brain regained its prowess. To further heal his psyche, his wife suggested he write a novel. The story he scrawled by hand sketched the theme and premise of The Sibyl Reborn. A rough draft remained unpolished because he immersed himself in neuroscience in the hope of walking again, and he became a liaison between scientists and nonprofit funding. This course eventually led to his 5 years of pro-cures activism at the forefront of the world's stem cell debates. He little suspected that this path would map the connections between the choice that left him paralyzed and man's ecological fate. Oh, I'm so pleased to welcome back to our show James Perry Kelly. Hi, James. How are you doing today?
Hello, January. How are you? I'm fine. I'm sorry I missed your earlier call because I was having a medical problem, but it was a little bit of an emergency, but I really wish I wouldn't have written such a long bio. I'm afraid I...
Well, I love reading the bio. I love reading the bio because it really fills our listeners in on everything you've been through and what it's all led to. Tell me, when this accident happened, how long were you in the hospital, and how long did your recovery take before you were able to go home?
Well, I was probably in the hospital for, first I was in the hospital in Billings, Montana, for probably about 2 weeks. And then I was such a bad patient, they more or less kicked me out, and I had to move into a hospital in Missoula, Montana, for another probably 3 or 4 weeks before I was in outpatient rehab for another 4 months.
Uh-huh. And your wife got there, and she was with you through it all. What does one?
Yes, she did it. I mean, it was as you can imagine, it was pretty traumatic for her. She was waiting for me to pick her up. Actually, I was driving across Montana to return to Colorado, where I was going to pick her up and drive her back to Montana in our new life. At the same time, the movers arrived in Colorado to pick up our belongings. So what happened was, she was standing in an empty house when the state police for Colorado arrived at the door and said that there was a good chance I wasn't going to live, and that she had to get to Montana immediately.
Oh, my gosh. And when you woke up from the coma, was she the one who told you you were paralyzed, or did you just, you knew it probably? How did that play out?
No, I was so out of it, you know, psychologically, that I was in basically I was half, I wouldn't say delirious, but I mean, that actually came later. I was, you know, very vague, and I had no idea what was going on and where I was or anything. And I only knew that something was very wrong because it looked like a hospital room, and, you know, there was my wife looking down at me from, and I was laying in a bed. I knew that there was something very wrong, you know.
Right. And then you spent the next, once you got out of the hospital, you became very active in trying to find a scientific to cure, and I suppose you hoped that you'd be able to walk again and move again, right?
That happened eventually, too. What happened at first was I didn't have a computer at all, so that meant that I had no way of being online or anything like that, and... at first, you know, I was in outpatient rehab, and while I was going to the hospital every day and trying to learn to walk again, at this point, I didn't even know that I was going to 100% be paralyzed for life. I knew that that was a very likely possibility, but at that time, I still had hope. And somewhere during that course, I'd say maybe 2 or 3 months into outpatient rehab, one of the people I worked with at the railroad, found out about our situation and gave us a bed, because for a while we didn't have a bed, and we didn't have any furniture at all.
Yeah.
And we also was given an old Windows 95 computer, and I used that to start looking into neuroscience.
Okay, and that began your search. You know, we're going to take a break and hear about your host right now, but when we come back with James, he's going to share his website information, where you can get his book, and he's going to share with us some of the messages concerning life that he took away from this horrific accident. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, James Perry Kelly, and the author of Sybil Reborn. James, could you give us your website information and tell us how we can get your book?
Yes, January. It's www.thesybilreborn.com, and I also blog at Quantum Fires on WordPress. And my book is available both on electronic format, both on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's also available as a hard copy through CreateSpace and Amazon.
Okay, wonderful. Now, after this accident, what possible message did you get from it? How did you walk away? Well, you didn't walk away. How did you continue your life after such a horrific accident?
Well, that's as far as the accident, the message that I walked away with was the same message I put into the book, and that is that we should pay very close attention to reality and not tell ourselves what we want to believe, because that's how I paralyzed myself. I told myself that I could keep driving indefinitely and meet the goal that I wanted to meet, regardless of what the reality was. And the reality was that I was falling asleep, and I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I even pulled over for coffee, and instead of buying coffee, I bought a sweet syrupy drink that just caught my eye when I was walking through a store along the highway.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of that, I ignored the coffee, I ignored the cappuccino or anything that may have had caffeine in it, and I bought something that looked good for the moment, and mm-hmm. as a result, I got back, and of course, walking around after pulling over and driving for hours, I started to feel a little bit more awake, and I thought, well, I don't really need that coffee. Well, I bought the I didn't buy the coffee, and 10 minutes later, I was I rolled over into the gulch, and I was paralyzed for life. And
wow. So
the number one message I came away from the accident with was that, you know, life is too important to not pay attention and to tell ourselves what we want to believe for the sake of our ego or convenience or our ambitions or whatever else.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's not a person listening who probably hasn't had this same experience where you're driving and you know you should stop, but you keep pressing on because you think you can do it. And I know we've all done it many times. And you've worked this lesson into your life consistently since then. And how did it relate to, and tell us about writing Sybil Reborn. First of all, what does Sybil mean, the word Sybil?
The Sybil Reborn is a novel that is a modern recreation of the Cassandra myth from the Trojan War.
Mm-hmm.
A Sybil is another word for prophetess. It's a woman that is able to see the future or sense the future. And in Cassandra's case, she was a princess in a city called Troy a long time ago, actually 3,200 years ago, that was attacked by Greece and overrun. And Cassandra was a very sensible woman. And the truth of the matter was, is I don't believe that she was really a prophetess. Her legend is that she was a prophetess because she told people what they didn't want to hear. And since it wasn't what they wanted to hear, they didn't believe her. And that's pretty much what happened to me while driving, and I think that that's happening throughout our society in a number of ways, and both as both in our individual lives and in our social future. Mm-hmm. It's crucial that we don't do what I did. When I say we, I mean the public, and that is turn off our logical minds to believe what we want to believe in crucial issues, things like stem cells and global warming and fracking, and you name it. We tend to believe what we want to believe or what's convenient and ignore the facts.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm going to read from the back of your book part of the description. Quantum magic turns dark and lethal when Cassandra Shabano, newlywed environmentalist, reincarnated prophetess, wields the law of attraction to defend the earth. She pits the spirit of man unknowingly against an ancient curse with forever at stake. Trapped it with seven people, the CIA, a teenage ghost, and our parent species, the activist must escape the maze and solve an impossible puzzle or forfeit her life and all she loves for failing humanity in its final hours. Wow, how did you ever get around to writing this book? It is 553 pages long, and each page is better than the next. Your wife inspired you to do it, right?
You're right. That's exactly right. Not only did she tell me that I needed to write, and that was largely to try to improve my psyche, I believe, and also to try to get my hand to work again. At that time, my hand was still partially paralyzed, so she was hoping that by holding a pen and scrawling on the paper that it was going to help me to regain my manual control of my hands. But in addition to that, she realized at that time I was so depressed that I needed something positive to focus on. So she encouraged me to write a novel. But as far as the plot, the story, and the different threads, we sat around and discussed our life and the things that we didn't noticed about people and human nature, and we came up with that story.
Oh, what an amazing experience. And not only therapeutic, it's also going to be therapeutic for so many other people that you could share this. You know, you got involved in the stem cell involvement. Share with us that experience, and what was the most disturbing aspect of that experience, and what was the most positive thing that came from it?
Well, what happened was I got involved with stem cells because I'd studied science exhaustively, especially neuroscience and especially spinal cord injury in neuroscience, for over 4 years after my accident, before the stem cells debates really took off in I'd say August of 2001, when George Bush came up with his stem cells policy.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was Christopher Reeve testified before the Senate on March 5th of 2002, and in his testimony he made seven statements that were scientifically inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And I was so shocked that such a major issue in the future of medicine around the globe could be determined by misinformation, that I immediately got on the telephone and tried to reach people in Washington to bring my information to their attention. And when I did that, I was invited to take part in a Senate debate the following week.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing led to another, and I was invited back to the White House. I was invited to testify before the Senate and the House and to go around to various state panels around the country to testify, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I appeared on CNN, and also I took part in a debate with Christopher Reeve at the New York Academy of Sciences. And my entire focus was on science, January. It wasn't on the moral questions or anything like that, because I wanted to make sure that the cures that society desperately hopes for are available when in our moments of need, when we actually need those cures. But two of the things that were the most desperate, one was on a personal level, that were the most depressing or the most disturbing, were on a personal level, and the other thing was on a social level. On a personal level, I had testified before a state committee in Texas, Austin, Texas, one summer, and everything I said was said from the heart, and it was also said because it was scientifically based, and I was actually trying to defend what I thought was the best medical interest of the other disabled people that were at this debate.
Mm-hmm.
And the people with Parkinson's and other conditions that were, their medical conditions were wretched. And when I left the committee chambers,
mm-hmm.
there was roughly a dozen people out in the hallway. And these people, like I say, had Parkinson's or diabetes or were paralyzed or whatever else. And they had been talking out in this hallway. And when I came out, they all turned at once and looked at me
mm-hmm.
silently with utter disgust.
Uh-huh.
Because I seemed to disagree with them, and they thought that I was their enemy. And I can't tell you the effect, you know, their disdain and what they felt about me, what that did, because
mm-hmm.
You know, I was not trying to be their enemy or you know, try to betray their future. It's unfortunately I believe I know what I was talking about scientifically, and you know, from their own comments, I don't think they did.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's nothing I could do about that, and I had to live with that, and
mm-hmm.
I had to keep fighting on, regardless.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you have, and I know that must have been a most difficult time, because people are so emotional when it gets to these topics on stem cell and ecology, environment, and this argument goes on and on. We hear it all the time, constantly, and it's such a frustrating thing for me. Isn't it still frustrating for you?
Well, it's especially frustrating because of the second disturbing aspect of the stem cell debates was that after, it took me years to come to this realization,
mm-hmm.
but I finally realized that and this will be probably hard for many of your listeners to accept, but I finally came to believe that the stem cell debates were a colossal charade,
uh-huh.
that behind the scenes, I believe that, yes, absolutely, on the surface, you had this moral debate where you had liberals versus conservatives or Democrats mm-hmm. versus Republicans fighting over the morality of embryonic research and human cloning versus the possibility of miracle cures. What I came to believe was that President George Bush and his key advisors and the people, the key leaders in Congress and in the Senate were, and I'm talking about the Republicans,
mm-hmm.
I came to believe that they were actually working with the biotech and pharmaceutical industries to promote
yeah.
embryonic stem cells while telling the grassroots supporters that they were opposed to those areas of research on moral grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's very hard to believe, but I think what you just said about, you know, the worldview polarization we have here in the United States and around the world, where we have these issues that are always divided along worldview lines, I believe that that is actually intentional. I think that's the way that, excuse me, I think that's the way those debates are. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice too, Jenny.
Me too. I've had a froggy voice all day.
Excuse me. Yes.
It's
but
that time of year.
No, I just believe that the worldview debates are often used and exploited to keep society divided in issues that they shouldn't be divided at all, that are not really worldview issues, but rather scientific or black and white issues with profound long-term consequences, and unfortunately the public doesn't see that, because it all goes back to the premise of the Sybil Reborn, and that is that we believe what we want to believe, and that's a scientifically proven fact, and because of that, it serves as a handle for industries and politicians to control
mm-hmm.
society by playing on what we want to believe.
Right, right. Yeah, and we are manipulated, and I think people are becoming more and more aware of that. And thank you for writing a book that brings that to the forefront. I have just two more minutes here, and I just wanted to quickly talk about your next books. You're writing three short nonfiction books, and they're going to involve stem cells and global warming debates, electrical power generation, and an emergency medical plan for treating mass casualties due to high doses of radiation exposure. So you are certainly taking on some big topics, and these books will be nonfiction, right?
Right. They'll be nonfiction. I'm going to continue the fiction, the story with Cassandra and all the other characters in The Sybil mm-hmm. Reborn, but immediately I want to get out these three nonfictions because I believe that it's crucial that society is able to look at these issues head on without any fiction serving as a entertainment buffer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think that's an amazing goal for you to just put this out there. The facts are as they are, not as we wish to see them, but as they really are. I think you'll be doing a great service by sharing your thoughts and your research on these topics. So many of these things just get pushed to the side, and people are basically want to believe good things. People are basically optimistic, but sometimes reality needs to be shared with them. Don't you agree?
Unfortunately, I definitely do agree. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Most of the people I met in the stem cell debates, both on the political right and the political left, were very good people. They were very sincere people. But unfortunately, the people that really have their hands on the facts and can see them straight on, quite often are those who have the most vested interest in their outcome. And because of that, they also have a very strong vested interest in understanding human psychology and being able to use it to their own advantage. And that's why I think that the average person needs help in being able to see the forest for the trees.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't put it better. You know, James, thank you for coming back on the show. I'm so thrilled that our show is a staff pick today. That means so many people will be able to access the show on the front page for the next 24 hours. I look forward to having you back again, and good luck with The Sybil Reborn.
Thank you, January, very much for your hosting me on your show. I appreciate it.
I've had fun, too. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, too, and be sure to catch all of our interviews with amazing guests like James Perry Kelly, with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for the rest of this week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amuse, amaze, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. If you've enjoyed our show today, please click the Follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. All of your comments and suggestions are welcome. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We really love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And now for my chocolate comment of the day, money talks. Chocolate sings. I guess that could be applied to our government and people in Washington, too. So for now, dear listeners, stop whining and start smiling and start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest today, James Perry Kelly, and I hope you all get a chance to read and buy his book, The Sybil Reborn. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Let's go see if Baba's sleeping.